Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Frank Bodanti, York Daily Record. Frank, how you been, my friend?
Good. Good afternoon, Steve. Hope you enjoyed your Saturday afternoon in Beaver State.
Well, the fans were unbelievable. Because I know that I only had to spend an hour outside doing the pregame show with it. And to be honest with you, then after that, we were safely inside. So the fans were great. And the drop count was huge.
I walked, actually went outside just before the game, maybe 15 minutes, walked through the student section. There was already, I think, about 2.5 feet of water.
The fans were great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, just great. And because we were out there, we're doing the pregame, and I mean, it started coming in sideways. When Jack and I went out to the field, we wanted to talk to J1 Sider for a bit. It wasn't raining at that point, but then everything changed. Jack and I did not say weather was a reason for turnovers because they practice in this stuff. And James didn't either. How important is that message, like, hey, no excuses, you got to take care of the ball?
Yeah, and you know what it to me it is you have true freshmen that everything like this is the first time at this level, at least for them. You know? And I think you do it in practice, but you don't do it in a game, and I don't know, Nick Singleton in particular looked like he was trying to run. I don't know, he just looked like he was trying to run even harder than what he had done previously, and you know, I don't know if it's rookie mistakes, but they got to learn, you know, guess everybody has to learn, and you combine the learning with the weather with the really good hit, you know. Helmet on the ball, and that's a learning thing. James even talked about that. You know, that's not an excuse really either. But I'm thinking these guys are, you know, they're going to get it. And I guess if this happens, it's best that it happens all at once like this. You know?
And it happens in a game you win.
I mean, right. That's when's the last part time you covered a game where Penn State had 5 turnovers and won? Is that happening?
I can't think of one, Frank. And it's also a day. Look, they're running the ball for the most part effectively, because Jack Ham and I were talking. I think we talked about this in the break. If Penn State had the ball 37 minutes, if they hadn't turned it over, they would have had it 45. I mean, that's what's amazing about it. And let's be honest, it's a day where, I mean, Sean Clifford did not have a great day. I mean, so he had to run the ball, but because Sean did not have a great day.
Yes, and I think it's just the way what you're describing is why maybe it looks frustrating for fans, you know, is that you are so close to, you know, you don't turn the ball over just one or two of those times, and then you probably score on those series, and then it's the game, the feel of the game's different. You have 3 turnovers, not great, but the game is probably a good bit different, just the feel of it. So that's what I think they have to overcome the last 2 weeks going in this week off, is that things just don't feel the way I think they should, you know?
Yeah, and that's something that obviously you got to go through, because now any mistake you make becomes more magnified for obvious reasons. What struck me before I get to the defense, this is the type of day, though, weather-wise, where the kicking game can get out of whack. And yet every snap was good. Every kick was good. I mean, that impressed me was the special teams part on a day like this where weather, wind, and so forth plays a big deal. And they got through that with no problem.
That was one of the best parts of the day. I mean, I'm going through like everybody does a report card or something. I'm like, wow, they really handled it. That might have been their best overall special teams effort of the season so far, when you combine everything, because Jake did a nice job, didn't have a lot of opportunities, but I mean, you hit a 38-yard field goal in the rain, that's saying something. And I mean, Barney is just a revelation. I've never seen anybody at Penn State punt like him. Not, you know, distance and leg and all that, but I mean, to be able to hit the ball consistently, have it die inside the 10-yard line, that's remarkable.
Well, that's why I felt like, you know, James, for example, went for it on fourth down early against Auburn on a really nice day. Then Saturday, he decided to punt, and the ball went to the 8-yard line. And I felt like because of what Barney's done and because of the conditions, James decided to play chess. That's why I thought, like, that move is a good move because of what Barney's done.
It is a good move. And Barney goes, you know, he's connected to me to the defense. They go hand in hand. So he sets the defense up. And right now, not just where they're at now, but I think where they can go, I really like the possibilities on that side of the ball for Penn State. You know, their defense and their punting to help the defense, I think they have room to grow there. And I think that's really positive in the bye week. The other side of the ball, I think there's just more questions that I don't have the answers maybe per se, but there's just more questions on the other side. I think defensively, I like where they're headed. And, the reason I'll say one thing, the reason why I say that is because I think there's more to get from a few of their big time players, and that's TJ Mustafer, who's coming back from injury. We haven't seen his best yet. Hakeem Beamon, who didn't play last year, I think he's getting better, and Adisa Isaac. And those are three guys who I think there's no reason why they should not improve if they stay healthy, just because of getting the rust off, getting back from injury, you know.
That's the amazing part about the five takeaways by Northwestern. They get it. But after the five takeaways, Northwestern had a total of 8 yards. What kind of statement is that by defense? And obviously Penn State took the ball back three times too, but what kind of statement is that?
Well, it's huge for them because it's going to happen again, and it's going to happen in their biggest games of the season, where you really have to react if you're going to stay in the game. You know, you can't get down, you can't let it up, and the defense did a great job of that, and that's huge going forward. I mean, you have three of your biggest games, boom, 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 and this is something you have to have. And the depth on defense is getting better. You know, linebacker to me is kind of the one interesting spot.
Yes.
Your best prospect are maybe on the whole side of the ball, Abdul Carter, and just if they can kind of get a little more production, I would have thought they would have a little more production out of that position so far, but there's still good possibilities. I mean, hopefully we still haven't seen the best of Curtis Jacobs yet as a playmaker.
Right. Being a complete player, I feel like we've seen the movement of Brenton Strange toward becoming a more complete player, not only catching the ball but blocking. On the defensive side, Jair Brown's the one that I look at and I feel like I'm seeing with each time out a more complete player. Is that what you're seeing as well, Frank, or would it be something else?
No, I mean, he did. You saw everything he did last year, and now they're just using him more for what he. I mean, they're squeezing everything out of that guy's ability, and that's maybe what you love about Manny Diaz and his approach. He's going to take, okay, what's the best that I have on the team? I'm going to use it, and I'm going to use it all. And it doesn't matter if it's six defensive backs, those are my best guys. And he sees something in Jair that maybe not everybody would use as a traditional safety, and it's paying off. And it's a great look for them to be able to have a guy like him that can move all over the field, and not just move all over the field, but he's doing stuff all over the field. You know, I mean, he's making plays at spots I guess I didn't really think. But they got other guys that can kind of do what he did last year. You know, they got other guys in the secondary that can ball hawk in the back. So, hey, take them play up front and make an impact. More power to them. Best move, you know. I mean, are people excited about what they're getting from their defensive side of the ball and their new coordinator?
Now, back to the previous part, because I mentioned Brenton Strange. That spot is a key spot in multiple ways on the team. What are you seeing in Brenton Strange? And when you've talked to others, what have they told you about how he has stepped up in that spot, not only as a pass catcher, but as a blocker?
Most improved player in the team to me. I didn't know if he would ever become this type of all-around talent because he's not a new guy, you know? I mean, but to me, the difference between his blocking is marked from last year. Big change. But also his consistency catching the ball. I mean, that was something that was a struggle last year, I thought. And he's turned it on. And the thing is, they got two other guys there. I mean, maybe Theo needs a little bit more time to come back from whatever was slowing him down. But and then Tyler Warren the same. Maybe this bye week might be really good for both of them. The combination of being able to use two and three of those guys together. I mean, Brenton's carrying it right now, but that's their strongest position. The only thing is, you got to use them more. I mean, to me, he would have been the perfect guy to throw the ball to 6-7 times in the rain last week. And maybe they're, I don't know, maybe they're holding some stuff back on us that I don't know about, right, Steve?
Yeah, it was interesting. I'll say this, when it comes to the conditions, I think where you can see evidence that the conditions in terms of how the game was coached would be evident on first down. Penn State came into the game about 54 to 46% run to pass on first down for the season. Again, 54 to 46%. Saturday, they had 35 first down plays. 29 were runs, Frank. Only 6 were passes. In fact, Penn State was 4 of 6 passing on first down. I think that's the one part where I look at where, okay, where the conditions influenced how they wanted to play if you're going to use a stat.
Yeah, and I like the play calling and the general kind of gist of what they were doing. But when to me, it's just when they started to seem like they really kind of struggled and on offense a little bit, kind of like sputtered. And Northwestern, you know, picked it up in the third quarter. And that's when I kind of thought, you know, to me, it's and maybe Cliff's struggling a little bit too on his own. You got a couple 6'4" guys. To me, I would think they would be the easier guys to get the ball to because they'd be easier to see. But and I think people forget how talented Theo Johnson is. He may not be 100% yet, but to me, he has the most maybe talent on that team in that position. But yeah, Brenton Strange. I have to admit, I did not see maybe coming what he's done, and all the credit to him so far.
How do you think a team needs to use its bye week? We all know what's next, and Michigan will play at Indiana Saturday at noon. How do they need to use the bye week, in your opinion, Frank?
It might be a little different every year, depending on what position you're in. I think this team needs, I mean, to me, from the outside look at the last two games, I may need a little bit of a reset to get that kind of out of there, you know. And get guys, I mean, to me, it's a time to get guys who are not quite able to, you know, get them healthy a little bit. Schedule your work around that. Certain guys that are maybe 80% that can really benefit from this, maybe some of the guys we've even mentioned already so far, that's got to help them. So how do you do that? And then I think it's just planning. You know, you got your good-on-good work that you have to do because you have time for, and the rest, the combination of that too, and then, you know, so it's advantageous. You have you could say arguably your biggest game of the year coming up after the bye. So I'd be drilling down a little more on Michigan than I you know, because you get that opportunity, right? I mean, this is a huge game. I mean, you go into Minnesota, win or lose, okay, it's the whiteout. It's good to me. It feels a lot different. You go in there undefeated, and you have a chance to win this game with an extra week. And look, I go back. Look at what go back to what 2017. I think they had a bye before they played Michigan at home, the whiteout. And you saw a team that came out of that game out of the gate that looked like they were rested and ready to roll. You know? So.
Frank, always a pleasure. Always great perspective. You know how much I enjoyed talking with you and spending time with you.
Hey, thank you. Hey, enjoy a little bit of time off, I hope.
Or a little break. Got a little bit here. A little bit. So okay. I will put my feet up a little bit.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Frank.